You tell me I be work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. So me better work, work. Welcome to WitWorks Radio. It is Tuesday, June 18th, and I am here. This is Abby Pober from Co-ops and Careers, and I am here with a wonderful colleague who I'm going to let introduce herself.
Hi, this is Faith Beatty. I'm Associate Director at Co-ops and Careers.
So we've got a small crew with us today. It's just the two of us, but we've got a nice tight episode, I think, that we're excited to talk to you all about. It's summertime, and that means that hopefully you're going to be advancing yourself professionally in some way. Some of our sophomores are on optional co-op right now. Some of our students are on their mandatory co-op. But if you're not on an optional co-op or you're not on a mandatory co-op and you've got some time this summer, we wanted to chat with you about ways that you can still get ahead and make the most of your summer so that you can be positioned really well for that first mandatory search. So, Faith, if we have students who, you know, they worked really hard, they missed the co-op deadline. So they're not going to be able to get an opportunity that's qualified as a co-op, go on their transcript. What can they do? Can they still work this summer?
Absolutely. We encourage you to work. I mean, that's what Wentworth is all about, is gaining real-world experience in applying what you're learning in the classroom. And so we strongly suggest that you continue looking for any type of experience that will just expand your skill set and expand your network and build your resume. We have different ideas of what you can do. There's various job boards you can go to. You can look for part-time work. We also suggest on our WitWorks.
Yeah, so one really great thing that our team is in the habit of doing is if we have an employer who has posted a co-op and they didn't hire anybody in time for the deadline, which was back in May, I think it was, then we ask them if they'd be interested in changing the job type from a co-op to a part-time professional opportunity. And so a lot of the co-ops or some co-ops that were not hired, they're actually still looking for somebody to fill the role. And so you have the opportunity to have a summer work experience that's not called a co-op, but is going to function quite similarly and is going to give you everything that you would get from a co-op that goes on your transcript.
Yep.
Because the cool part is you can still put it on your resume.
Yep, Abby's absolutely right. You cannot call it a co-op because it's not an approved co-op and it doesn't meet the criteria, but it is still summer employment, summer opportunities. It can be part-time, it can be full-time. In some ways, it's an advantage because you can be much more free in your job search when you're not confined by the constraints of the co-op requirements. And you can look outside of your major or within your major. And when I say look outside of your major, it doesn't mean that you would not gain skills that would be directly applicable to improving your resume, improving your skill set that would... There's so many different skills that can advance you in your career. So, for example, I can think about is communication skills. If you're in a position, even a part-time position that you're currently in, perhaps that doesn't seem to have anything to do with your major, you're learning customer service skills. You're learning how to think and make decisions and troubleshoot right in real time. You are learning how to manage through issues and solve problems. You are learning how to communicate succinctly, both either in writing or in person or on the phone. And communication, we're hearing from our employers that communication is one of the critical skills that they're looking for. Another skill you may be gaining is business etiquette. And sometimes it's just modeling. You may be in an environment that you will observe others and how they're approaching different situations and the etiquette they use. And that in and of itself will be a benefit to you. So for example, if you see a boss handling a irate customer or a issue with one of their vendors, you're gaining knowledge by either reviewing their emails or seeing what they say in person or on the phone. So we strongly recommend that you think that way when you're looking at any opportunity that you're involved in. How can you take those skills and use them and transfer them to your resume, to your job search, and to succeeding in your career? Can you think of some other skills that they might be looking for?
I think time management you'll end up working on in any role.
And that will help in any aspect of your life.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I really think the biggest piece is the communication. That is just something that you have to pick up, and you really can't learn until you actually just get out there and start working.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be, you can be a waitress, you can be whatever job. But I think, yeah, time management is another one. And it's interesting because as you're saying this, I'm thinking about, well, okay, what kind of jobs might our students be working this summer? And they could be working, you know, reception at a local company. Maybe it's a doctor's office or maybe it's a manufacturing company. I don't know, but you might not be doing something related to your major. But I think a lot of people are in the wait staff industry over the summer because it's such a flexible work environment for people who have changing schedules. And I don't think, I was trying to think back at all the interviews that I've had, and I haven't been a waitress in a decade, and it still comes up as like something somebody asks me about. Tell me about what you learned from your waitressing. Tell me about what you, so it's, I think that when I think about that, that's really important that you remember that those experiences are just as valuable as your major related experiences.
Yep. I'm thinking two things that you just said. If you work in a doctor's office, one of the things you can put on a resume is that you are reliable at handling confidential information. That is really critical for some business environments, and you can say that you've already experienced that. You know how to do that well. The other thing in the manufacturing setting, the different vendors, I think that's a really critical skill to put on your resume, that you've had exposure to different types of vendors. Again, it's just something, as Abby said, you don't know until you're out there and actually experience it. That's the only way you gain that skill.
And another thing I'm thinking about, you learn how to make decisions kind of quickly. I worked at Sherwin-Williams in the summer in between college when I was, it actually counted as an internship for my school. But really what I was doing was I was mixing paint and helping people with their orders. And one thing, local homeowners would come in and they would have no idea what paint they wanted for their for their room or their dining room or whatever, and so I was having to help them make decisions, and that actually ended up helping me be more decisive and helping me kind of analyze. Like, I would learn how to ask questions of the customer, and then I would help them arrive at a decision, which in turn just has helped me become a much quicker decision maker.
But also, that's a huge, so you've got two skills that came out of that, right? Your own personal decision making, which helps advance what you're doing, but also it's how to read a customer and how to pull out of them the information that you need in order to help them best. And that, again, is just through pure practice that you'll get good at that. And that's any wait service, any service position.
And then how that translates into your own professional career when you start to apply these skills.
Absolutely.
Could be on any, you know, any client you might be working with.
A customer is a customer, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to, they're not going to, I especially am thinking of our students who are going to be working in the tech industry, and they're going to be building these tools and these softwares for people to be using. Most users and most clients have no idea what they actually want the final product to look like. So you'll be huge if you're working in an environment where you're just helping people make a decision.
Yeah, there's a psychology to it that's really critical. Absolutely. So there's other things that we would suggest doing if you have the time in your summer. Job shadowing or informational interviews. Those both could gain you a lot of experience. And there's also some other impacts that could have on your career. It could be developing your network, which I hope everyone gets the message from Co-ops and Careers that your network is critical. In the job search and for career, for life. So starting early and often, we often suggest. You also can gain references through a job shadowing or informational interviews, and you gain experience and just knowledge. So people often ask, how can they go about doing that? So for job shadowing, it's really just assessing what type of industry you'd like to get exposure to, actually for both job shadowing and informational interviews. We would suggest reaching out to your own network. That includes anyone, any adults that are in your life that you know, whether it's a neighbor, a parent, a relative. You could do this through someone through faculty at Wentworth. You could do it through the alumni network that we have. And just to put a plug in for your advisors here, even though you may not be residing in Boston for the summer, they're available to you. You can email them. You can do a Skype appointment, you can do a phone call, and they can assist you with how to identify a search strategy for job shadowing and informational interviews. And if you need to understand the difference, job shadowing would be a request that I would have. Could I come in and follow you and sit with you to understand your job? It could be for half a day, it could be a couple of hours. It really depends on what people are willing to do. Oftentimes people will accept you coming in and shadowing them for a whole day, which is remarkable. And the benefits you get from that obviously are just exposure to what they're involved in and just taking it all in. For informational interviews, it's usually very quick, very concise. You would ask someone, can I meet you and have a cup of coffee and take 20 minutes of your time or 30 minutes of your time? Or can I come in and just meet with you in your office, whatever's most convenient to do to you, for you? I'd be happy to do whatever works. The difference there in a job shadowing, you're more just taking in information, whereas informational interviews, you're coming prepared with questions. You want to be ready to really be concise and ask, either it's about the career path of the individual that you're meeting with, it's about the industry, it's about exposure to how what they're looking for to hire. It's about just being really clear in your questions and having a boatload, having like 12 questions, so you never want to run out of questions in that. And then, of course, the last question for either of those are, you know, obviously saying thank you very much, but also saying, is there anyone else that you would suggest that I could talk to?
Oh, that's such a
good
question.
You always want to leave any of those with another person so that you can continue on your quest. So that's like a critical thing to do.
I wish I had known about job shadowing and informational interviews when I was kind of doing the search process. I've been pretty candid on the radio show for the listeners who hear regularly about my job blunders in the past. It's different, whether it was the team wasn't the right fit or the actual work wasn't the right fit or the company wasn't the right fit. And all of those lessons learned, maybe would have picked up on if I had actually done an informational interview or a job shadow.
Yep.
So this is like, I know our advisors harp on this a lot, but I think it's a really useful tool. And is there any reason a student should be nervous about scheduling one of these?
No, not at all, because you're really approaching it saying if it works for you. So if it doesn't work for the individual that you're asking, they'll say no, and it doesn't hurt. And you can always say, you know, can I do this another time? It never hurts to ask. All you can get is a no. It really is, you know, if you do it politely and professionally and follow up with a thank you email
within
24 hours, I don't think there's really any issue. And also, I would suggest have your resume ready. Have your resume ready for both of those opportunities. And you can say, I'm not actively looking right now, but I'd just like you to, you know, give you my resume in case you have any questions about my background. And just leave it at that. And you want to be really clear when you're going in for either one of these, I'm not looking for a job. You really want to say, I'm looking for information. That's a much easier ask and a much easier yes for someone. It's a lot more intimidating for someone to say, you know, yes to, they want to come in and talk about a job. Mm-hmm. They want to come in and talk about your job, what you do, what your career path has been, what your company's doing, you know, what your industry's doing. It's an easy lift for most people. So that's a really important thing to know.
That's great. And I think, I think you can also know that a lot of times alumni are really excited to do that.
Absolutely.
So I think if you're nervous about maybe approaching a company where you don't know anybody, going towards the route of an alumni where there's that Wentworth connection might make it a little easier.
And you also should keep in mind, if you're nervous about asking an alumnus or really anyone, just put yourself in their shoes 10 years from now, 5 years from now, when you have a good job in the industry and a Wentworth alum or Wentworth student calls you and says, you know, I'm a sophomore at Wentworth, I'm really interested in whatever the industry that you're in. Would it be possible for me to meet with you for 20 minutes to learn about how you get into this career path? Why would you say no? Like, just remember, it's like a really nice thing. You're tapping into their expertise, you're tapping into their knowledge. It's very complimentary. People really like it. And if you put yourself into the shoes of the person that's being asked, you'll realize that it's actually a lovely thing to have happen. You want someone to ask you. Perfect. And one final point I want to know, just state in terms of the ripple effect of a job shadow and informational interviews, you gain industry knowledge that you can put on your resume that you've done job shadowing or you've done informational interviews. And if you don't have it even on your resume, you talk about it in an interview. And it just indicates that you're interested in a specific industry. And my own most recent example is my own daughter did a job shadowing at a recruiting agency. And just because was curious and spent the day, was very interested and just kind of left it. But then her summer internship this summer is with a retained staffing company, and they really liked that she had done a day of job shadowing.
That's awesome.
And that differentiated her from other applicants.
I didn't even consider the implications of being able to say it in an interview, but that's fantastic.
It's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because one thing, and I've been reading this a lot in articles as I'm sourcing content for social media, is that employers really need to know that you're passionate.
Absolutely.
Or that you're interested. Maybe not passionate is the right word, but
they do use that word. They do say they want to hear your passion for their industry.
Question.
Yeah.
So that's a great way to do that. But if maybe, all right, so this is kind of, these are like outgoing strategies for people who are like out there. They want to do, they just want to put their name out there. But maybe there's for students who are kind of more hands-on and they like to learn. What about volunteering?
Volunteering is always a great opportunity. And again, people oftentimes will say, what could I be volunteering at that would be directly relatable to my career aspirations? And it's really interesting. You never know. So for example, I know a student who started off who ended up for their local religious organization doing a video. And that was something that they did. They helped them with the video and they had to interview people. They had to put the video together. They had to edit it and it was used by the organization. And it just came out of a conversation that she happened to be interested in kind of social media and video broadcasting, and that's just how it came out. And so that was a great, great thing to put on the resume as a project, and you could have a link to it and you could see it, and it was a great starting point for her career search.
That's interesting. I wasn't even thinking about ways to sort of volunteer directly related to what you're interested in, which you could probably, there's probably organizations that need an app built or organizations that...
Or need to have a database scrubbed, or, I mean, honestly, there's so many, and I'm just thinking specific to Wentworth, but there's so many, it goes back to transferability of skills, you know, let's say you even work at Rosie's Place or Pine Street Inn, I mean, if you help with giving out meals, you go clean up a park, so what are you gaining there? You're gaining team building skills, you're gaining the ability to meet deadlines, you're, you know, gaining, you know, abilities to deal with people of a wide variety of people, and that's goes back to the communication that we started with as a critical skill.
Detail orientation. I recently volunteered at Community Servings, which is a local nonprofit in Jamaica Plain, I think they're located. And what they do is they serve meals to people who have medical dietary restrictions. And so when you're packing the food, you have to be really careful that you're not putting like diabetic food in with the cancer patient. And so attention to detail is something that all of us need to do. And that was a skill I had.
And that proves it. By being successful in that volunteer role, you can put on that on your resume that you have proven detail, you know, proven ability to be detail or successfully detail oriented.
And maybe logistical coordination if you're maybe you're going to volunteer to deliver those meals or... transport clothing from one Salvation Army location to another, that's all sort of planning and operational tasks that every single person needs in their career.
Yep, absolutely. I know someone who did that at More Than Words, which is a nonprofit that's for books for at-risk youth run it, and you can go in there and you can assist them with their inventory and their cataloging of what they have. And again, it's back shop operations. It's truly back shop operations. But guess what? Every organization has a back shop operations. And you need to understand how it runs.
Yeah. And I mean, volunteering, it goes on your resume. It's absolutely relevant on your resume. And you talk about it in interviewing.
And honestly, there's that whole other component, which is not the altruistic reason to volunteer, but who you're going to meet. Maybe you meet someone that will expand your network. Maybe you just don't know. Every opportunity to interact with someone outside of your small sphere is an opportunity to network and an opportunity to find a contact that you just never know. You may be able to help them in the future, and they may be able to help you.
I think that's one of the biggest benefits of volunteering, actually, is that you meet people.
Yeah.
And it could be that you benefit them.
Yes.
Which is also good for your career.
Right. No, and good for your soul.
Exactly. I think we've come up with some good ideas. I had an idea about volunteering, but it's completely gone now, so we can move on if it pops back.
If it comes back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we've sort of been touching on transferable skills quite a bit in this conversation, and
I think it's very hard sometimes to realize that what you're doing has a transferable skill component. And I think you may, as a student, you may realize it from even the projects that you've worked on or the teams that you've been on and the academics that you've been on, that you can talk about these things. There are transferability of what you've done to date. So any team that you've been on, we can't emphasize enough, employers want to make sure that you will fit in their organization. They want to see how that you operate, how that you interact.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say that employers make a decision really quickly just simply after meeting you, because they just get a sense of whether they want to work with you. And so that's a really critical component of how do you present yourself in a team environment. And so that's something that you learn constantly, and that's a transferable skill.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other transferable skills, again, we've talked about the communication, the detail-oriented. I think that you brought up time management. I think project management is also a big component, and I know you're going to school for that, you know. But I also think that any student has project management skills.
Absolutely, and you can gain those skills on... It's funny, my professors talk about this all the time. When I'm struggling with coming up with a topic to write about or something, when I'm trying to when we're asked to draw an example from our experience or from an article and talk about how it's project management, they'll say, you manage all sorts of projects. You clean your house on a Saturday. You manage a project. And so, like, I'm even thinking about the wait staff who has to do all of the setup work before the big shift on Friday night, and you've got to get all the ketchups and all the salad dressing and everything. If you don't have everything you need in time for first seating, you could be in big trouble come mm-hmm. 7 o'clock at night. And so that's a project somebody has to manage,
right,
and it might be you.
Right.
I know I'm using a lot of wait staff. I was a wait staff person.
Yeah.
But even like managing, I used to do big weddings. That was mostly what I did during the summer, was serve weddings, and making sure that every place seating was set in time
mm-hmm.
for the walkthrough of the event manager was
mm-hmm.
really important.
Right.
So that the table looked exactly the way the bride wanted it before any of the guests even
right.
really showed up. And so that was another project that I had to manage. While also as the head server, I had to manage a team of people
mm-hmm.
to make sure it all got done. They couldn't be like goofing off,
right.
doing whatever. They had to make sure that everything was placed. And so those are two different types of skills you're gaining. You're gaining managing people.
Yep.
And you're gaining. And that might be something else that you're gaining in your part-time job over the summer, is managing people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That even goes back to the volunteer component. You don't know if you're in a volunteer role, are you managing a team? Are you overseeing something? I mean, it's just, how will that evolve, and what will that skill set? That skill set will be transferable.
And maybe even delegating tasks is
Absolutely.
Something, which is a challenge for anybody.
Absolutely. That's a great one, Abby, actually, because that's a really critical thing if you move into a managerial role.
Right.
So the ability to delegate, and the ability to not just take it all on yourself, but be able to prioritize and know what, you know, what you can push off to someone else, and confidence that they will get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a huge skill. So these are all different ideas for your current part-time job or your current opportunity. But I also, if you're home and you're taking care of siblings, if you're taking care of someone sick, if you're are you walking a neighbor's dog?
Mm.
Are you taking care of your own dog? Like, honestly, you just have to shift how you approach any of these things. So, for example, if you have the opportunity to walk neighbor's dogs, or mow their lawns, or water their flowers, that is very entrepreneurial. Entrepreneurial skills are very transferable. So, and you have to establish the contact. You have to delineate, you know, kind of the boundaries of what the work is. You have to determine what the cost will be or what you will charge. And you have to communicate that. And then you have to follow through and meet the deadlines and do it in a positive way. And accept criticism if it's not done well. And then incorporate that and continue on. So I think that's a huge component.
Absolutely. And on that same idea, you could start a business or Absolutely. Start working on a personal project. So it doesn't necessarily have to be going and working with an employer.
No.
It could be all on your own, especially if you're somebody who wants to start your own business.
Yeah. I know someone this summer who's having a tough time. They're recovering from some knee problems, and they're going to build a computer from scratch.
That's fantastic.
And
that's
just because he wants to, and he's going to have the time, and I think that would be a great thing to talk about in an interview later on in his life.
Yeah, I'm thinking about maybe somebody who's at home and they've got like a bunch of siblings, and you know, their parents are super busy and they're really engaged. Everybody's got something to do, and maybe you have all these schedules that you need to kind of coordinate to make sure that everything is happening that needs to happen in the house, and that
project management.
Yeah, and so you could build an app.
Yeah.
For your family.
Yeah.
I've certainly heard students talk about like they built like a scheduling app for their family.
Absolutely.
So that's something that you 100% could
yeah.
do. Or, you know, I mean, there's a lot of students. We have an older WhitWorks radio episode with Mark Bamforth where we interviewed one of the students who went through the entrepreneurial co-op, and he started his own manufacturing facility in his bedroom.
Yeah.
So you can be a machinist by night if
yeah,
you want.
Yeah. Or your own website.
Yes. Oh, that's huge.
That would be wonderful for so many reasons, because you could really gear it towards presenting yourself professionally, and you could envision all the different opportunities that you've been involved in that will be populating it as time goes on.
And more employers are looking for some sort of a portfolio type situation.
Absolutely.
So building a personal website is a brilliant idea,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, no, that would be great.
And you can do them for free. I mean, Wix mm-hmm. is a free site, and Weebly, I believe it is. But Wix is really drag and drop, super easy. Or even Tumblr sometimes, and like WordPress, that sort of thing. You can do a pretty easy layout. So those are some ideas on how and where to go for a website.
But there's also personal projects. So for example, again, I'm kind of going back to the project management, but if you organize all of your digital media or your family's digital media I'm thinking family ancestry, if you want to do some research on that. So if you took on researching some ancestry, and I'm not saying you have to go to, you know, 23andMe or ancestry.com, I'm saying, you know, you're interviewing family members, you're writing, you're researching, you're looking online for different data sources. I mean, that project in and of itself shows so many transferable skills.
Totally.
It's phenomenal.
Totally. Or even like if your family has an annual summer party or something, you could take on the planning of that.
Right.
I think the idea is to just get excited about something that you could be doing. Like take
yeah.
on something at home if you can
yeah.
and get excited about it. Get
yeah.
into it.
Yeah. But there's a lot of opportunities, and there's a lot of opportunities. I just want to go back to the volunteer again. You just have no idea. I mean, it might be as simple as you walk by a neighborhood or a recreation camp, and they need someone that helps them with their baseball coaching.
Mm-hmm.
You offer to come for an hour literally once a week to kick a soccer ball with 5-year-olds. I mean, it's as simple as that,
yeah.
and it just shows initiative, and it shows that you are looking to make a difference. And honestly, I think that's a huge, huge thing to be able to talk about. And it's huge for you personally.
Absolutely. And I do remember what I was going to say about volunteering.
Yeah.
Is one of the things about volunteering is employers essentially want to be seeing that you're not just sitting on the couch watching Game of Thrones all summer. That's sort of what they're looking for.
More well-rounded.
Yeah,
yeah,
they want you to spend your summer doing something
yeah.
with your time. I mean, it doesn't have to be work, but it
yeah.
has to be something that you can kind of dedicate and focus on. And so I think that that's why we're encouraging, well, that is why we're encouraging you to volunteer or start a personal project if you don't have a co-op or a part-time job this summer.
And I hope, if nothing else, if you are listening to this and you leave this broadcast, that you realize that you do not have to be limited by money, mm-hmm. location, having a car, not having a car. You can do any of these things anywhere. With no money spent and still gain huge experience that will absolutely benefit you. So we don't want anyone to think that summer is lost and they're not moving along in their career.
Yeah, it's certainly not. And at the very least, you can spend some time updating your LinkedIn or your resume or your portfolio or, like Faith said, building.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's like low-key. You can be sitting at home. You can be sitting by a pool somewhere and just working through how are you going to...
Scrubbing your Facebook.
Exactly.
Make sure that all of your media presences online are professional and you're proud of them.
Yeah, take this professional spring cleaning to the next level and spend your summer making sure that you are you've got this perfectly polished image that's exactly who you want an employer to see when they Google you.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're trying to do with that.
And we have a lot of resources available to you if you need help.
Absolutely. So I think Faith said earlier that our advisors are here all summer. We do not get the summer off, and we're pretty glad about that because it gives us time to plan and prepare for students. But we are here, and so your advisor could schedule in. You could have a regular appointment with your advisor if you're local, or you can call in. You can always email your advisor, but they do like to talk to you in person a little bit more. So that would look more like a phone call or a Skype. If you wanted to practice your interviewing skills, they could do a mock interview with you. They could help you with setting up a job shadow or an informational interview if you're not really sure where to go. And they could also help you with doing that part-time job search. I'm looking right now. We actually have, it looks like there's a part-time job with Up a Baby this summer on Whitworth. So if you're an industrial designer and you want to get some experience at Up a Baby, that's a fantastic organization. But there's also networking organizations that we can connect you with, both here on campus and then beyond campus. And so on the Wentworth website, if you go to wit.edu/student-life and then go to the student orgs page, you're going to find all of the professional and kind of leisure organizations and clubs that you can join here on campus. But a couple of them include IEEE, which is the it's electrical engineering, and I forget what the I stands for, but IEEE is actually a national organization, and we have our very own very active group here at Wentworth, and they have regular programming throughout the semester, so they're a fantastic organization right here at Wentworth. Other ideas are the Society of Women Engineers, the American Society of Civil Engineers, Mechanical Engineers, insert your engineer here. There's an American Society of Blank Engineer pretty much for all of the disciplines that we have, which include biomedical and biological and electromechanical. There's also something called the Society of Automotive Engineers. There's the Society of Manufacturing Engineers. Like I said, Society of Enter Your Brand of Engineering here. There's, if you're in the computer programming side of things, honestly, just getting on GitHub is a good idea for you. If you can start getting into the coding world online, you're going to make some great connections. And Twitter. I know that the computer science folks on Twitter are really active. We also have a computer science society. So look to the organizations listed on the Wentworth website for ideas, because most of these the professional organizations that have Wentworth chapters are smaller versions of a national or a local society. And if you're in the construction world, I'm going to plug the Associated Builders and Construction Society, which is ABC. They have chapters in Boston. They have chapters in Rhode Island. They have chapters in almost every major metropolitan. And I used to belong to that group when I worked in staffing, and it was just a really great organization. So if you're in construction and you're looking for something beyond the Wentworth walls, I would recommend the ABC group. And then there's also SAMI, Society of American Military Engineers. So if you're a vet, that's a fantastic organization. They have a really active base out of Providence, Rhode Island, and I think also out of Boston. So those are some networking opportunities or networking avenues if you're looking to just get out there and kind of make connections this summer.
I also think, again, I know we have some books here on campus, and again, if you're not here, this would be a cost, but Cracking the Code is an excellent book that we all highly recommend for anyone who's in kind of the technical career search. And then there's The Art of the Interview. There's a lot.
Oh, that's a great one.
Get online, and there's a lot of different, I think Google also has a really good technical interview.
They do.
Book. I can't think of the name of it right now. So anyways, there's a lot of opportunities to kind of just expand yourself and just gain some knowledge that will be helpful to you as you move forward. And then, of course, we have all the resources that we have available. We have other radio shows that you could access through...
So our website is coopsandcareers.wit.edu. So that's the direct link to the main page. If you're on the wit.edu website and you just go to any page that's labeled Co-ops and Careers, it's going to redirect you to our entire site. And so if you go under the student section, under students on the menu there, you'll see something called resources. And that's where you're going to find any handout that you would review with the advisor. So if you're looking for our resume handout or how to work a fair, all of that is on the website. In addition to under that same student menu item, you can find our What's Happening blog, which has really great, kind of more up-to-date, a little bit more casual advice written by the team. We also solicit input from employers, professors. We're working on all of that. So look actually to our blog to start growing a little bit more with outside experts as well as the advisors themselves. And then on that same menu under students is WitWorks Radio, and we have every single episode. They're titled for the topic. We get pretty specific so that you know exactly which one to listen to. So check that out. Like I said, I think back in the fall semester, you'll see one if you're looking to hear how somebody started a business in their bedroom. That is the entrepreneurial co-op one with Mark Bamforth. But there's all sorts of I couldn't tell you. We are on episode 84 of WitWorks Radio. So there are 84 choices for you right now and growing.
So there, that would take your summer.
Yeah, that would absolutely take your summer. Listen to all 84 hours of WitWorks Radio.
Or come please. Up with some topics. Come up with some topics or send us some blog ideas.
Exactly. Absolutely. If you want to blog over the summer, you want to write about your... Here's a great idea.
Communication skills.
Yeah. If there's a student listening and they want to spend their summer kind of doing a career exploration and you want to write like a monthly blog series, I would be thrilled. And I think that you would gain a lot from that. So think about writing about your experience too, even journaling just for your own purposes so you can go back and learn about your experience and remember what you learned and why you did something the way you did it and maybe why it didn't work or why it did work.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you want to blog about it for me, I would love you forever. You would be my favorite student for the rest of your life. I would be talking about you since I was until I'm like 80.
You're so funny.
So I think that's a great idea.
You're so funny. I'm trying to think some other ideas. I just want to make sure people understand there's so many different options available to them. So I know a student who's doing managing the Twitter feed for a local dog rescue. I know someone who, what were they doing? I think they were, this is an interesting one. They were assisting on the execution of road races. You know, they were a runner.
Oh, cool.
And so the skill sets that you could gain from there are incredible, right? Event planning, prioritization, time management, project management. And then you could, you know, have executed a excellent event. And by the way, we know that you're not going to say that you ran this event, but you are going to say that you were part of the team that managed this event. And then you discuss what your area of expertise or what skills that you applied and gained from that experience. I'm trying to think of other things that people could do. I don't want anyone to feel constrained by money or location.
Yeah. I think we keep bringing up a lot of like social media ideas because those are things that you can actually do as long as you have a strong internet connection for a lot of the. One thing I did my sophomore summer was I helped our local community hospital. I went in twice a week, really, and they needed kind of their event materials updated. So the PowerPoints that they were using, they needed it to be a little bit more modernized. So I created like standard templates for them of PowerPoints and event invite pieces. So I just sort of set up a sustainable way for them to move forward in a more modern, in a more modern way. And that was at my local community hospital.
That's great. That's great.
So that's another thing. Hospitals might need your help as well.
Yeah, any organization, really, any non-profit organization or for-profit, to be perfectly honest. But
And like you said, your neighbors might need a dog walker. Watering plants is a huge thing. Yep. I always, like, people travel all summer. And I always need my plants watered.
Yep.
So I would love to have a student come to me and ask
about something. Or if you have someone that is mobility impaired or aging in your neighborhood who needs assistance, if they need a, you know, landscaping done or...
One thing I had a friend, she used to be somebody I would help but became a friend, and I would take her grocery shopping once a week. And it was just an hour out of my day on a Sunday. I would usually do my grocery shopping kind of at the same time. But it was just a nice way to, I got to know somebody. I learned some things about what she did as a professional in her career path. It felt good, but also it was, you know, time management. She expected me 10 a.m. every Sunday. And so I had to be there and, you know, she had to be to church. So it was, it was really a serious thing. Like I had to make sure that I wasn't, and then also caring for her. She had mobility issues. So I had to be cautious and concerned and aware of accessibility and the store we were going and all that good stuff.
And that says so much. So for an employer looking at you, I mean, it's you're a wonderful team member. You'd be a wonderful team member. You'd be caring. You know, that story indicates so much about you that an interview would capture.
Yeah.
And that's a great, I mean, that's a really good example of the unintended consequences of doing something like that.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's amazing. But if you don't have a car, it could just look at, you know, sitting and playing cards for an hour.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Some people just
go to a local assisted living facility and see what they need.
Absolutely.
I mean, literally, just go in there and say, I have an hour a week. Even if you're working another job and you feel like you want to expose, I have an hour a week. What could I do for you?
Yeah. And
they
another
will
thing.
Come up with something.
Oh my gosh, they absolutely. One thing I was just thinking about. My partner and I have recently been talking about how I never got my gold award in Girl Scouts. But this is making me think that you probably have some Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts who are out there trying to get their silver awards, their gold awards, and their Eagle Scout, who have these, they have these projects where they have to impact the community, but maybe they don't always, they don't necessarily have the skills to build something. These projects can look like, if you've ever, I'm thinking in mobility stations at nursing homes are a common project where it's somebody is installing these stations where, older folks can kind of exercise their arms and different areas and stretch and whatever as they're taking the walks around the facility. And so a Wenworth student could actually have a lot of skills that could, maybe you have an hour a week to help that scout build their actual thing. So now you're actually doing something that's really relevant to you.
Absolutely.
So think about your Girl Scouts and your Boy Scouts, I guess, is what I'm saying there.
Or even I'm thinking architecture or industrial design, if you're involved in any sort of organization that's building something at all. I think that or tutoring in some format.
Yes,
you
tutoring.
Could certainly help in any sort of learning center. There are a lot of opportunities out there.
I think we could go for hours.
We could go for a long time here. But get back to the job part, it's not too late.
No.
Don't think that just because you didn't get a co-op that you can't have a part-time job. In this economy, most people can find a part-time job, at least, and you can have, you know, 6 to 8 weeks experience still in front of you, and that's plenty of time.
Absolutely. You know, I think you've got a good 2 months ahead of you.
Yeah.
And so
if
you can, try and use them.
Yeah, absolutely. What else do we have here, Abby?
I think that's the show as far as what you can do to make the most of your time. This went a lot. We had a lot more ideas than I thought we would, which is great. But we also have some upcoming things that we want to share. So these are things that you can just do actually tomorrow. Both of them are tomorrow. So tomorrow on June 19th, from 11 to 12, and these are things that are happening on campus. From 11 to 12 in the new building, on the first floor of the new building, is a Leopard Lunch and Learn, and it's going to be a young alumni panel, and our very own Janelle Juba is hosting that. So if you want to know what it's like to transition from college to full-time work and what that first year or two at work is going to be like, definitely stop by that. They're going to have some really interesting stories to tell and interesting tidbits and lessons learned to share with you. And then as part of that same series, on July 10th, actually, is an etiquette dinner. And the Center for Student Engagement is bringing somebody in from outside to actually teach etiquette and have a dinner. And I think there might be tickets that you have, maybe, I'm not sure. I think it might be a $10 ticket. Don't quote me on that. The Center for Student Engagement is organizing the whole Leopard Lunch and Learn series. But those are two really excellent ways to learn about professionalism and boost your skills and network at the same time. And then the Civil Engineering Department has been putting on a series this summer, the Civil Industry Speaker Series. And so every Wednesday at noon, so you could go to the Leopard Lunch and Learn and then to this series, you can learn from somebody from industry. So tomorrow, the 19th, is Contractor Design Support Services with Dimitrios Planatas from GZA. GZA is a huge international company in the civil industry, so that's a fantastic talk to go to, especially if you're looking to work at GZA. And then the 26th, I think this one's going to be pretty interesting, with Tanya Riviera from Turner Construction is scheduling. Scheduling is a pretty serious part of project management, and especially construction management. And it's always a bear. My partner is a project manager at a bridge company, and scheduling is honestly one of the most difficult things that they have to do, because you're working with so many different vendors. So I think those are four really fantastic opportunities to meet with employers and build your professional skills. That's it as far as things that I think are coming
here.
Up.
We're here to help.
We'd love to talk to you.
Careers are here to help you. So
yeah. So if you want to stop by the office, we're at 101 Wentworth Hall. You can call us at 617-989-4101. We're open 8:15 to 4:45 Monday through Friday. And you can always tweet at us at Wit Co-ops and Careers. Same thing on Instagram. I think that'll do it for us today.
Well,
this
thank
was
you.
A fantastic episode. Thank you, Faith.
No problem. Thanks, Abby.